This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
So we got a case of triskaidekaphobia here this week, fear of the number 13. No, Taz is not our special guest, but that would be pretty cool. It's the 13th episode of the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation. And we thank you for joining us. It is, we're after the July 4th holiday. I hope everybody had a great holiday weekend. Now that soccer is, for all intents and purposes, over, unless you're a fan of either Germany or Argentina, we can get back to reality where it's all talk all the time about LeBron James and the NBA free agency. I find more interest in NBA free agency than I do in the regular season, if that's any indication. I just don't care about the games, but I love this type of year and I love this type of talk. But, you know, and also, too, there's a lot of things going on with professional wrestling. Our guest this week is going to be terrific. My buddy Mike Mondo, he was part of the Spirit Squad in WWE. He was a long time in OVW. He was in Ring of Honor. He's a Long Island guy. He's a Jets fan. We won't hold that against him. But we're going to talk about, we'll talk sports, we'll talk life, we'll talk wrestling. He's doing some training now of young wrestlers. And we're going to talk about John Cena a little bit. Because there were two things that struck me from Raw this week. Number one, the proclamation that John Cena is the greatest world champion in WWE history. Greatest of all time. Michael Cole said it. Now, there was some question. What are you talking about? But there was no debate. Nobody brought up any other names that I heard. I was just floored. Second thing, I guess it's over for Cesaro, Antonio Cesaro, my boy Claudio. I guess it's over, right? Because he can't beat, for all intents and purposes, a jobber in Kofi, who I like. And then as he's beating down Kofi after he loses for the second time, out comes Biggie Langston, who's not over at all. So say goodbye to your boy, Cesaro. And I'm sure that Paul Heyman will be gone with him pretty soon, too, because all Heyman's going to be talking about is Brock Lesnar because we're getting close to SummerSlam. So while I was just depressed about what they're doing with Cesaro, because it makes no sense and it's stupid how you go forward by moving backward. No, they're doing some good things. Roman Reigns, nice, like that, get it, doing well. There was a lot of good little entertaining stuff on Raw. I don't get Bo Dallas at all. Poor guy, feel bad for him. Never going to get over in a million years with that gimmick. Branded for life. A loser. It's awful. But John Cena, greatest world champion of all time? I don't understand this. I don't understand it at all. JR, are you there?
I am here.
You hearing some background noise?
No, we're good now.
I have the window open. It's hot.
Is it like a party going on? Block party or something?
No. I think I just had the window open and who knows, maybe a car drove by.
Okay.
But
talkative car.
So John Cena. Is he the greatest world champion in WWE history?
No. I mean, maybe one of.
Is he in the top five?
Well, I mean, what's our criteria?
Our criteria could be anything you want it to be.
Okay, I mean, is it most reigns? I mean, because those were obviously watered down, so I wouldn't go by that. Is it best drawing champion? Are we looking at this in a kayfabe manner? Are we looking at a best in-ring champion? biggest crossover name? Like, what's the...
I'm looking at it from, like, star power, memorable matches.
Okay.
Guy who elevated the belt. Guy who was a transcendental superstar, like, just went above and beyond. Rarefied air.
Okay. I will say Hogan, obviously, is
okay.
Him and Austin are probably 1 and 1A.
Yeah.
Bruno Sammartino.
You don't even have to give me numbers.
Okay.
Just give me some names of guys that you would rank ahead of John Cena.
All right. Hogan, Austin, Bruno Sammartino. Rock.
Yep.
I think this is where he starts to creep in the conversation, honestly.
Okay, what about Bret Hart?
No, I mean, if you're talking like transcendent star, I don't think Bret Hart was that.
Shawn Michaels.
No, I think Cena's ahead of him.
Okay, Triple H.
Cena's ahead of Triple H.
Okay. How about, well, what about other parts
like,
of the belt?
What about
Flair?
Well, Flair didn't have enough reign. Like, his reign wasn't long enough in the WWF.
But
he was only
champion for a few months. They carry over the lineage?
Of the NWA? No, I mean, you start comparing that, then you're bringing a whole nother crew of guys.
Well, you're not really. I mean, really, seriously, I don't think you are.
Okay.
I wouldn't put.
Well, I mean, you're talking like Lou Thesz. Like, how far are you going back? Dusty Rhodes, Flair.
You can go back
Harley
as far
Race.
As you want.
All right, I think all those guys are probably ahead of Cena.
Think so?
Yeah.
Cena's pretty far down this list.
Well, if you're bringing in the NWA title, yes, he is. I think if it's just WWF title, he's probably in the top 5 or 6. Depends how you feel. Like look at a guy like Bob Backlund. He had a long reign. I mean, is he comparable to Cena? I don't think he had the mainstream.
No, not at all.
Cena did, but
absolutely.
I'm
not.
Just talking how he had like a long reign with a lot of good matches and is looked at kind of as a guy that really helped carry the promotion during a long. Maybe he's more comparable to Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, Bob Backlund. Maybe he's in that group. A guy
that
didn't take
that
next
second
level.
Tier.
Yeah.
I would put him maybe 4th. Maybe.
Cena.
Ahead
of who, The Rock?
At the absolute highest. No, I would put Sammartino down on the list a little bit. Mm. Generational. I don't see how
Bruno sold out MSG, which
is
what we can compare to Cena, whatever, TV ratings, pay-per-view. I mean,
I understand that. It was a different era. Sammartino left, became Backlund. Backlund became Hogan, right?
Right.
And so Hogan took it to the highest of high levels. Without Hogan, I don't know. I don't think anybody else could have had that job. I don't think anybody else could have done what Hogan did. To me, he's at the top of the list. I see your point with Sammartino. I struggle to put him in there. Because I'm, you know, if we're looking modern day, you go, for me, Hogan, Austin, Rock, with Austin and Rock 1 and 2A. And then maybe you figure in Cena there, so that might be 4, right?
Yep.
If you want to put Sammartino in the mix and you think he's above Cena, okay, then that's another one. I put Flair in only because I think Flair is part of that title's lineage. There are 2 belts. They haven't done away with that.
I think if you're looking at that lineage, like I said, you're going to bring in all those other guys.
Yeah, I don't see Harley Race above Cena. I don't see Dory Funk Jr. or Jack Briscoe above Cena.
Dez?
Maybe. He's in that conversation. But anyway, it's interesting why they did this. Why do this at this time? Is it to get people talking about, I mean, what could be next? Is it so Paul Heyman could say he's beaten the streak and he's, you know, Brock Lesnar's beaten the streak and he's beating the greatest world champion in WWE history? How does that help Brock Lesnar? Do you think it does? Do you think it hurts him?
I don't know.
What say you, JR?
I don't know. I don't think it hurts.
No? I think people, when they hear a ludicrous statement like that, I think it stretches their credibility. I think it just, you know, Cole has no credibility at all.
Right. So, I mean, it's there anyway, because the way I look at it, when they do their announcing and they're putting over their stories and their all this shit, to me, it's for the modern fan. So I think of myself growing up. I mean, the guy, they'd always say, oh, Hulk Hogan, the greatest professional athlete in the world, in all of sports, Gorilla Monsoon would always say. And obviously, it was not even close to true. But did Gorilla lose credibility in my eyes as a kid? No, I believed it. So, I mean, if they're gearing their commentary to the modern fan that doesn't... Anyone that cares enough about what they're saying isn't their target demographic, I guess is my
point. That's right.
They're not here to be a history book. That's just not what they are. Now, if you want to say the network is that or the documentaries, that's fine. But their on-air product, to me, isn't meant to be a historical encyclopedia of wrestling history.
Well, that's true. That is true. I think there was probably a better way to say it. He's in the conversation.
You could say he's one of the greatest champions of all time. But to a lot of kids, he is, because that's all they've known.
Right.
You could have argued to your blue in the face that, you know, superstar Billy Graham was a better world champion than Randy Savage. But screw you. Randy Savage was my man, you know. So it's,
and everybody would go, you know, they don't remember superstar Billy Graham.
Right. So
it depends on generationally where you are.
Right. So some kid who grew up only knowing John Cena is his main world champion, and these other guys that have come in and out, and, you know, Randy Orton and Alberto Del Rio, and that have come in and Edge, that have won titles here and there, but John Cena is always the constant. Like when I was growing up, Hulk Hogan was a constant, or Bret Hart was a constant. So they don't know who Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels is. They do tangentially because WWE's more about the legends and bringing them on and honoring them than they used to be. But I mean, if you're an 11-year-old kid, you're picking John Cena matches over Bret Hart matches anytime, I think.
Right. And do they always make everybody who is the Money in the Bank holder, do they always make them look so stupid? Is that the object?
It definitely seems to be a growing trend. But I like, so what's your beef with this one? Because I like this one.
Well, I like the idea of the match, and I thought it was interesting. But nobody ever gets the last word on Cena. You know, the guy that's in the drive, the Cena should be in peril.
Right.
That is a major problem. Wrestling 101.
Yes, he is never in peril. And when he is, he laughs it off.
And he's never in peril in the pre-tape backstage, and he's never in peril in the ring.
Right. I agree with you 100% there. I like the aspect of the briefcase that they're making Rollins, like, now having to be obsessed with watching Ambrose as much as a champion has to be wary of Rollins cashing in. So, like, every time Rollins is going to cash in, Ambrose is there to screw with him. And it almost makes him have to be as paranoid as the champion is, because every time he thinks he has a shot, Ambrose is there to screw it up. I like that part of it.
Yeah, I do. I like that as well. And it's almost a scenario where you want, you've got to do something to stop Ambrose before you can wrestle the champ, whoever that might be.
Yeah, maybe he starts trying to put him on the shelf, or maybe they have a stipulation match where if Ambrose loses, he's not allowed to interfere in any of the cash-ins. I could do something crazy like that. You know, I've never seen that before.
Have they ever? I'm sure they've had matches before where, you know, the briefcase can change hands, right? Have they ever done that?
They have, and it did when Mr. Kennedy won it, and he got injured, and they got worried that he was supposed to be out for a year. They panicked and put the briefcase over to Edge. And then it turned out Kennedy was back in like 6 weeks or something like that. And so remember, because Kennedy had said he's going to hold it for the year and cash in the next year. And he never ended up doing it because Edge ended up taking the briefcase off him.
He made it like a couple of weeks. I like the idea of what they're doing. I've watched more Raw this week than I did any other. I like what they're doing with the network. I thought that was really smart. Give it away for free. No credit card, made it as easy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually tempted to think about ordering it. That's as far as I got.
Did you watch the Monday Night Wars special?
I was there for it. I don't need to watch it.
All right, whatever.
You know, do you sit around and make a documentary of your high school? What'd you play, baseball in high school?
I'm not the person to ask about watching stuff I've recorded growing up. I think anyone listening, most people listening will know that, but.
And why is this?
I was very big into recording stuff growing up, and I have a group of friends that hang out and watch it every now and then. So,
oh, I bet that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we do. We have a good time. We have some drinks, and it's become like a yearly tradition.
That's fun.
Yeah.
See, so I'm not one to watch things that I've done. I even have a hard time watching Ring of Honor. I watch it, but I go through it quickly because I was like, I was there. And I want to see, like, ooh, how do they do this?
Well, sure. If you're talking about rewatching matches that you watch live, I get that. But, yeah. I mean, this is like a documentary about stories and stuff. And
it's all BS anyway. Come on.
I thought they weren't too bad with this one.
My buddy Joe Dombrowski is working on a story that's going to blow everybody's mind about the end of the Monday Night Wars. And basically, was it all a setup?
Was what a setup?
Was it a set deal long before this that Vince was going to get the company, and because they had no interest in that? Basically, people within Time Warner wanted to see WCW gone. And did they rebuff much more financially solid offers because they knew if they gave it to Vince, he would never want it on TBS or TNT?
You're going to wear that ridiculous polo shirt in this documentary too?
I still have that ridiculous polo shirt, by the way. Ridiculous. It's a freaking simple polo shirt. What are you talking about?
Dombrowski, I'm curious. We'll see how this thing comes out. One of the best parts of that Monday Night War special was they had this footage from like some 1998 Ted Turner interview where he's in a boardroom. I don't know what the hell it's from. It's from like a deposition or a chat, and they showed a lot of clips from that. And that was pretty interesting, seeing his take in the moment on what was going on.
He was an interesting cat. I think that quote that Vince had always said, "I'm in the wrestling business," you know.
Right.
Ted didn't care. He didn't care at all. He thought it was fun. You know, he was like, what's the Nets owner's name? Prokhorov?
Yeah.
It's like walking around money for him.
Banging hookers on jet skis.
He doesn't care. How much did he spend in the salary cap this year in fines and penalties?
Oh, yeah, he doesn't give a shit.
$80 or $90 million. Every team in the NBA got $3 million thanks to him.
That's three more mob guys he's got to off in Russia, and he gets the money back from it immediately.
It's easy. He calls that Tuesday.
Yes.
That's simple. Banging hookers on a jet ski. He's the man.
He is.
He's the man. All right. So we've got Mike Mondo is going to be our guest.
Yep.
And I'm really looking forward to talking to him. What else are we going to do tonight? Trending stories, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
I love that segment. We're going to, I'm sure, talk about the NBA free agency.
A lot of sports talk.
A lot of sports. We've got the All-Star game coming up. And we've got Twitter questions, all kinds of stuff. And a long dissertation from Aaron Chase, which we're going to get through, I guess.
Yes.
Where are we on time right now? Do we need to take a break?
A few more minutes.
All right, we'll take a break in a few minutes, and we'll get Mondo on the horn.
Mongo.
Next week, Mondo's going to be on the phone.
Oh, I thought Mongo.
No. You would love that, right?
Oh, man, I got to go back and retweet everything, then I screwed it all up.
We have got...
if you ever got Mongo, we could just retire after that. He never does
that
anything.
That would be it.
That'd be awesome.
Well, in 2 weeks' time,
we've got
the guy who...
Tombstone, baby. All right, sorry.
What was the dog's name?
Pepe.
Pepe. That was funny. No, Mike Mondo is going to be our guest. In 2 weeks, Danny Cage, who runs the Monster Factory, the world famous Monster Factory, the greatest, longest running training school, Stu Hart's Dungeon, all these famous places around the world. And then you got the Monster Factory right there in its 31st year. Danny's going to be our guest in a couple of weeks, talk all things training and professional wrestling and all kinds of stuff. That's going to be the theme. You know, we've been doing the theme of finishing strong, you know, since we kicked off the show. And now in our 13th episode, we're going to, try to be, I know a lot of young guys that are in wrestling listen to this, and hopefully, they get something from it. So we'll do some focus for them when we have opportunity to have guests like Mondo or Danny Cage. We're still working on getting some cool guests.
That's a shot right there. We're working on some cool guests.
We're working on some cool guests, some different, different people.
No, we do. We have like some unique names. Non-wrestling
people.
Yeah. Wrestling fans, which are but not in the wrestling business.
Fans.
Yes.
But they're certainly known.
Yeah, we have a few guys in the works.
And just trying to pin them down with their schedule. But that's, if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, we're going to talk to, people that I know and have personal relationships with inside the wrestling industry. And these conversations are always fun. So, do you share my trouble with the Cesaro thing, JR?
I think they need to bring in Bobby to Stain. I've been, as much as I love him and Paul Heyman, I was really against that pairing as soon as it happened. And they haven't won me over with it at all. it didn't make sense to me because it seemed like Cesaro was about to become a face. And Heyman could be a face, but the carrying on the Brock Lesnar stuff where he's a heel, it was just an odd pairing. It didn't really make much sense to me. Like, it did on, like, paper in the internet dream world. If you saw, like, oh, Paul Heyman is going to manage Claudio Castagnoli, you know, this is going to be awesome. Like, it makes a lot of cool sense. It's two guys everyone loves. But then you see them out there, and it just they don't seem to mesh well. And
I can't pronounce his name correctly.
Cesaro. And I keep reading all these rumors and stories that they love him. They're going to still push him. This doesn't mean the push is dead. And then you watch TV, and you're like, oh, all right. Well, when are we going to see it? And there's been rumors that he may feud with Brock Lesnar at some point. So, I don't know. Maybe Brock Lesnar wins the world title?
I think he does, and I certainly would see the I certainly could see Cesaro carrying him to a great match. That would be awesome.
I think it would be cool if they do the, you know, Heyman turns on him, or Cesaro demands a title match and Heyman turns on him, or something along those lines, and you get that match to fill a few of the Brock Lesnar dates. So what do you think? Let me get your take quick on this before we go to break. If Brock Lesnar wins the title at SummerSlam, can they get to Mania with him as champion with his limited dates? What are your thoughts on, can he take the title and be gone off TV here and there? Do you think he needs to be on every special event? How would you carry things?
Well, I think the idea of having Cena and Orton and the Shield members, I think they could carry the show at this point. You know, to me, the Raw isn't lacking for the lack of Brock Lesnar. And Cena being there, Cena's, you know, he doesn't need the title. He's just a big star. So if he never was champion again, that would be fine. He could just go out and do his thing. And he's a transitional guy anyway. He's never the guy anymore. He's just the guy who's holding it till somebody else becomes the guy. So no, that wouldn't bother me at all. I think they could do it. I think they could easily do it with Brock going to Mania. No problems. No problems at all.
I agree with you. I don't think the belt needs to be on TV because I think they can get by without it. I can't picture that there's anyone out there besides my buddy Andrew Reich that really cares if the world title is on a card in this day and age to be defended. That's just me. Like, I think a well-booked hot feud, like if they did Ambrose Rollins in a gimmick match, to me that could carry your October special event without Brock being on the card. You have a number one contender match. You elevate the mid-card title. Or the tag titles, which have been very hot right now. So I think they could really fill out these cards with the guys you mentioned. Yeah, Chris Jericho and Bray Wyatt are feuding. You're telling me you couldn't headline an October feud with that, or pay-per-view with that, if you put them in a cage or Inferno match or something? You couldn't do that and have them main event that show nowadays that you're not selling pay-per-views per se?
Who am I talking to, Vince Russo? No, you're right.
You're Swerve, absolutely baby! Right. Pyro Ballyhoo!
Swerve. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I completely agree with you, and I think that I'm disappointed that, you know, Cesaro is, to me, he's the odd man out in this whole mix.
Right, and he can turn it around quick. If he gets one good win at SummerSlam, I'm not sure over who, but then you have him do the Brock thing, I think they could have something there.
I'm trying to think of a glass half full scenario for this. I really am.
Yeah.
Just disappointed. You know, but I was glad to see, because I still see him as Tyler Black, you know?
Mm.
And I still see him as a Ring of Honor guy who has worked hard and has gotten to where he is now because of effort and talent. So I want to see all my Ring of Honor guys, whoever that is, you know, in that scene, get as far as they can.
How would you rank the last question? Then we got to take a break. How would you rank the Shield as far as success to this point after having broken up?
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being they've completely sucked the wind out of the building, and 10 being they've you know, they're throwing babies in the air.
If you were betting or putting in order of how you would bet on these guys' future by how they've booked them solely to this point. And how they've gotten over and what they're doing to this point, what's the order you're doing it in?
Well, unfortunately, I think Seth Rollins has been kind, from what I saw this past week, but I guess that's the way it is when you wrestle Cena, is you kind of look like a doofus. You don't get the last word in. and everything that you don't really do any moves. You don't really do anything to win. It kind of sucks. I like what they're doing with Ambrose. And Reigns is a star. They're positioning Roman Reigns to be a big star. So, and I guess they're going to get towards, I guess they're going to go Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar next Mania. Is that what you would bet?
Yeah, now I'm reading that they're not saying that has to be for the title, just that they may fight there, so maybe they're not going to try and keep the belt on Brock. That's been the rumor as well, so we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that would be, I think it's good either way. I'm fine with that. But, yeah, I've been hot and cold on what they've done with the Shield. I like it. Some weeks I don't. I like what they've done. I mean, consistently, they're stars. And Ambrose certainly isn't lost in the shuffle. Great match with Orton. And, you know, Seth main evented with Cena. You can't ask for more than that. And Roman Reigns was the hand-raised big babyface star at the end of the show. So, yeah, they're carrying the water on that. No doubt about that. They're doing a great job. You know, and our guest this week, Mike Bonda, was part of another multi-man group. What are the pros and cons of that? You know, is there anything that Mike, if he had advice, I'm sure he would for Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, things to be careful of, you know, in their young career in the WWE. What's he doing now? I want to ask Mike Bonda all these questions. We'll get Bonda on the horn here in a few seconds. It's the 13th episode of the Kevin Kelly Show. Right now, our man JR is going to tell you where you can find the Kevin Kelly all the time, anytime, no matter where you are.
You can find the Kevin Kelly Show in any of the following ways. You can visit PlaceTimination.com, click the Kevin Kelly Show banner, or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. You can subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes, or visit Stitcher.com, subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the app at placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad.
Okay, so there you go. And now let's quickly go to the Wrestling Flash.
I am Just Rosero. This is your Wrestling News Flash, brought to you exclusively by WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. There's been a lot of speculation that AJ Lee returning to WWE, her husband CM Punk could be next to return. Speculation continued when WWE announced they were featuring CM Punk on the WrestleMania Rewind this week. Word is there are no plans for Punk to return just yet, and his contract expires on July 17th. Sources maintain nothing has changed with the status. It's also said that AJ's return has no bearing at all on Doty's relationship with Punk. One source believed Doty has very little contact with Punk since he left. Sting recently took to his Twitter account for the first time since April and posted a classic black and white face paint photo with the following caption, 7-14-14, which would be next Monday. Although many speculated maybe he'd be on Raw, the post is likely referring to his inclusion in the WWE 2K15 video game, as the Honky Tonk Man and Sid also posted the same sort of image. As a reflection on all that Kevin Steen has meant to Ring of Honor, Nigel McGuinness has decided to allow him to hand-select his opponents for his remaining ROH matches. On July 12th, in Minneapolis, we'll see Kevin Steen versus Tommaso Ciampa for the first time ever. And on July 18th in Cincinnati, Steen has demanded one more shot at Silas Young, who disrespected Steen after losing at Best in the World. Once again, visit our good friends at WrestleChat.net each and every day for the latest news, in-depth features, and the Still Real to Us podcast. More of the Kevin Kelly Show, including a visit from Mike Mondo after this break.
Let me know you in the house.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of wrestling. You know you want to hear it.
Kenny! Johnny! Ned! Nikki! Mikey! And we are... The Spirit Squad!
All right, we're back on the Kevin Kelly Show. It's the 13th episode, and we thank you for joining us here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. There's so much good stuff going on, and we want you to check it out now. But this is the time. I've been looking forward to this all week since I lined him up as a guest, because my good friend Mike Mondo is joining us on the show. Mikey, what's going on?
Boom. Kevin, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Boom. I love it. Everything is good, man. Are you enjoying your summer?
I am, man. I'm really, it's really busy, especially on the weekends. But, you know, during the week, I'm having a really good time. Weather's finally nice out. It's been a long winter. I'm going to the beach, doing my thing, staying jack and tan. You know how I roll.
I know. So you've been, all right, so you lived in Louisville for a long time.
Yeah.
How's the adjustment been moving back home, moving back close to the family? You know, where your friends are. Has it been hard going back, or is it sort of like, you know, everything just feels comfortable again?
No, it's actually quite different. You know, it's got definitely the positives and the negatives. The positives is, of course, I'm back home, get to see my family again. Pretty much my whole family lives on Long Island. And I'm also close to the New York Wrestling Connection School, the school that I broke in, 13 years ago now. You know, do my thing there. But there's a whole like group of new people, like, you know, kind of like everybody from when I was around is pretty much gone. And, that down to the negative side, it's like even my friends, you know, that I grew up with or I went to high school with, you know, they're pretty much all gone, married, have kids, doing their thing. So like the adjustment was kind of like definitely different, you know, a little bit weird, but, you know, definitely not, you know, not all bad, because obviously I'm, you know, scraping around my family again, and, just a different chapter in my life. The Northeast is so much different than the Midwest. You know, everything's faster up here, and you know, it's more expensive up here. But you know, it's where I grew up, and I definitely miss Long Island, New York, and I'm glad to be back.
Well, and I know you were in Louisville for how long? 10 years?
No, well, yeah, it's up there. I'd say about 8 years. Years in Louisville, and then I spent a year and a half when I got transferred when I was under WWE developmental to Florida. I lived in Florida for close to 2 years, and then kind of just been bouncing around, you know, just wrestling all over the place.
You've been, you know, and I read something today. Danny Cage, who runs the Monster Factory, you know him. You were there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, great
part
guy.
Of it. He's awesome. He's going to be our guest in a couple of weeks. He put up something today and made the comparison that if this is what you want to do, if you want to be in professional wrestling, you need to take a look at what J.J. Watt, the defensive lineman from the Houston Texans, put up. And basically is that he's too busy to have a personal life. Let me see if I can bring up what he wrote here. Yeah. When Texans defensive lineman J.J. Watt was asked if it bothered him that his teammates made fun of him because he was, quote, too busy to have a personal life, this is how he responded. I have a limited amount of time to build a career out of football and be the best that I could be at this job. When this job is over, I'll have the rest of my life to do what I want to do with my time. Right now, my job is to watch film, work out, and treat my body right. When I get done with football, then I can relax and drink as many beers as I want and hang out and be a regular guy. Right now, I am a football player and will sacrifice whatever is necessary to be the best. When I read that last line, I saw the line that said, right now, Mike Mondo is a professional wrestler and will sacrifice whatever is necessary to be the best. I read that line and I thought of you, my friend.
Thank you, man. That's a really big compliment. I appreciate that, you know. And it's right. It's so true, though, because I've said this to every seminar that I did, or, you know, to my friends, family, anybody that wanted advice. And I live by a simple quote, and I love to take credit for it, but I can't. I heard it when I was in developmental in Florida. I heard Dr. Tom Pritchard say it. And he said, there's three types of people in society, in this world. There's those that say they do. There's those that say they will. And then there's those that will do whatever it takes, you know. And the third class of whatever it takes is the people that are going to go above and beyond and just to achieve success. And they will accept nothing less. And, you know, I'm definitely still pushing, still roaring. I'm ready to go, you know. I'm always ready to go.
I know. But it's tough, right?
It's very hard. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough on the personal end, and it's tough on the professional end, you know. Yes, as a professional athlete, you know, you're never content with yourself. You're always pushing forward. You always, you know, you want that next, you know, the next big thing in your life and your career to happen. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, as professional athletes, it's hard to stay patient. And as we know, and you know, this business is all about timing. And sure, it can get very frustrating, but you just got to keep, you know, your eye on the prize, keep doing whatever it is you need to do, be honest with yourself, look in the mirror and say, okay, I need to work on that, need to work on this, stay humble, and, you know, just be aggressive and persistent, you know, but at the same time, not annoying. There's so many factors that go into, you know, going after your dream, like really the minor details of it. And it's usually the minor details that really makes the difference whether you make it or not.
Your dream professionally started right out of high school, and then before you know it, I was on one show with you, and it was your farewell show. You were heading down to OVW. So there goes Livewire. Bye. Good seeing you. Good luck.
Remember that?
I do. I remember it. That's where he's going to go. He's going to Louisville, and I think he's going to do great. Okay, there he is. And I hear great things. Boy, he's really doing good. They put they're doing this cool thing. They put Snitsky with him. You know, Mondo, and it's great. It's hysterical. Cornette loved it. Loved you.
Ironic about this whole thing, Kevin, is that I just moved into my new place at Islip, you know, a few months ago. I was living in Nassau County before that, but you know, my mom has been after, you know, she's because like she comes over sometimes to visit and like have these boxes still laying around because, you know, I'm always doing my thing or on the go, sometimes a little bit lazy as far as getting my house together, you know, because just keep stuff you keep putting it off.
Sure.
Well, I was going into these boxes, and I was my brother was here too, you know, right next to me, and I was just going through like these cards, just random stuff, and you know, I was keeping some of it, throwing out whatever. But I came across these cards of all my peers and family that you know, when I was getting sent off, like you just mentioned, to Louisville, about how you know, you're going to achieve success and best of luck, and just how overwhelming the support was for my family, that they sent me those cards with nice messages in it and stuff like that. And you know, I was just like, you're just sitting there, you're reading, and it just kind of hits you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just like, got to go back in time like 12 years. Like, wow, I remember. Wow, yeah, you know, it's all comes back to you. It's like you almost had a little moment there, you know?
Right. Well, 12 years ago, everything was completely different than it was 12 years before that. And 12 years fast forward are completely different than when you first went to developmental. The whole scene has changed 180 degrees. The focus is on developing athletes from all walks of life and growing, it seems, professional wrestlers in a laboratory setting as opposed to a real-world professional wrestling setting. That's my opinion. What do you think about the way WWE trains their guys now?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that, like, Vince is in the driver's seat and he can do whatever he wants because he's monopolized the system, and it's pretty much the wrestling world revolves around him. And, you know, each transition is kind of really interesting and really different in its own way. And it's, you know, I look back even when I was on the road, because I've recently been up to WWE recently at some TVs and a pay-per-view. And it's still like there's things that are really the same, you know, but then there's also some things that are just a lot different, you know, and how they run things, like the pre-workouts beforehand and stuff like that, with Regal being in charge now of the extras, the extra talent. But as far as the training goes, you know, it's really hard. I think the bottom line is for people is that if you're going to be successful in professional wrestling, I don't care if you're going to grab them from a baseball team, a football team, a hockey, whatever it is, you have to have the one common ingredient, and that's passion. You have to have passion. You have to really want to do this to succeed at it, you know? And I think, you know, you can train anyone, you know, teach them, you know, the quote unquote monk, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. If that makes a sense, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I just think you have to have passion and love for it. And, you know, some are able to adapt to that and they really kind of fall in love with it. And then are on going on to doing bigger and better things in the WWE. And there's some where it just kind of cracks them and you never see them ever again. And that's the majority of them, you know, realistically.
Well, and you know, and back in the old days, it was somebody, like, say, Bob Roop. You know, I grew up in Florida, and he was the guy that Eddie Graham would send, you know, the marks in, and Bob Roop would stretch the marks and then send them, you know, away screaming, saying, and don't ever come back around here again. Don't be telling all your friends it's fake.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem, in my opinion. And sometimes it's almost like insulting a little bit because you see some people that are out there and just sometimes the way they present themselves, you can just tell either A, they don't take it seriously, or B, they're just trying to pretend to, because what they saw on TV and they thought it was cool, they make a lot of money at it, they want to be a star. And it's just, the problem is anybody can get into it these days, and it's not a problem. You know, the wrestling schools are a dime a dozen no matter where you go. Half the time they should be, they're the marks that are running the school.
Yeah.
So it's just, it is what it is, you know, and a lot of that's because the business is exposed to what it is right now. I'm sure internet didn't help. And, you know, just as technology got more advanced, you know, that didn't help as far as keeping the secret of pro wrestling. But yeah, you know, I just think the problem is anybody can get into it these days.
So you're doing a lot of work with NYWC, which was your home promotion, where you trained, where you began your career. What separate, now there are a few, there are, you know, there's schools are a dime a dozen. Like you said, you're exactly right. There's schools in every street corner. And when we did the ROH camps, we'd see guys, I'd get their applications and it would be like trained by, and it would be by a name, you know, a whole bunch of the applicants. I never heard who trained you. I've never heard of any of the people that you've wrestled. I've never heard of you. But NYWC is one of the few schools around America that has a great reputation. Mm-hmm. What separates that school from the other Dickie Mo schools, trained by nobody, that never produced anybody? You guys have turned out a lot of great talent.
Yeah, and I'm very I take a lot of pride on me being the first graduate or someone that actually went on from NYWC year 2002 to go to OVW, the first one to actually move away from their home. I take great pride in that. But since then, talents from, you know, former TNA WWE superstars, Curt Hawkins, Zack Ryder, who's currently up there in the WWE right now, Trent Beretta, he just recently got released. He's tearing it up right now in New Japan and on the indies all across the United States. Tony Nese, great athlete, great shape, was in the X division of TNA a couple years ago. And, you know, I think it really boils down to the difference between, in my opinion, from NYWC to a lot of the schools that I've either seen or heard about from around the world, is that we have a structure to our school. And, you know, we kind of weed out the people that don't take it seriously, and we keep the ones that are, you know, the cream of the crop and that are going to rise and that do take it serious and that have a passion for it and that it's something that they really, really want to do. And once they go through a series of drills of, you know, pretty much teaching them how to wrestle and how to work, we put them on shows and see how they do. So there's like, you know, there's a structure to how we do things. And the owners, John Kearse, Shane O'Neill, my man Steve Forge, like they have they have the utmost disrespect for everyone. They treat everyone equal. And they know how to run business, good business. And they're just good people in general. And I think that's the most important thing when it comes just to human society, is that you always want to work with good people. And then that's what they are. They're just ones that they're honest. You know, they tell you straight up. They don't beat around the bush. Their prices are very fair. And you're getting top dollar for what you're paying for. You know, you want to learn how to wrestle, we're not going to come and steal, take your money. We are going to give you the platform, the tools. And from there, it's up to you to how you utilize the tools to then go on and market yourself to be hopefully the next big star in professional wrestling.
But you're not. And, but you're not a babysitting service, are you?
Not a babysitting service, no, sir. Yeah, it almost sounded like it was. No, we're not a babysitting service. And but I take a lot of pride in now coming back home, being the head trainer there, kind of taking them under my wing, hopefully produce some more guys. You know, I've not to pat myself on the back, but I've trained a lot of guys that were, you know, that either gone through the WWE, TNA, you know, system, Serena Deeb, Santino Marella, who actually just announced his retirement from wrestling.
I was gonna ask you about him because I know that you were influential in getting him started.
Yeah. Actually, we were, well, I was just at the TVs a couple weeks ago, and, you know, we were doing the loop of TVs, the Raw and SmackDown, and we actually rode together. He stayed at my place between Raw and SmackDown. We came from Hartford. We were going to Newark, and we stopped in Islip in the way, stayed at my place, and just had a chance to really catch up and see what the heck we've been up to. You know, he's got that MMA school, AC to the Max, down in Toronto, Canada. It was like an MMA also slash professional wrestling school. He's got a lot of things going on. He actually just came out with he's coming out with a movie. He was in a movie, I should say, around Christmas time. So he's had some success with that. So he's got a lot of things going on, and it was really cool just to see and just talk and see what the hell we've been up to. So
how hard was it for you to go back and to do this? I mean, were there any expectations on your part? Well, I'm sure there were hopes that you were going to get that, you know, there might be another opportunity to be there on a full-time contractual basis, or was that laid out ahead of time? How did the whole process go?
Yeah, pretty much. Joey Mercury has been, you know, nothing but great to me. He's a friend of mine, even outside the wrestling business, and they gave him a call, you know, and just trying to be the squeaky wheel that gets the oil, keep plugging away, keep pushing, you know. Not taking no for an answer. And, you know, he was able to get me booked on the extra talent list for the TVs and a pay-per-view. This was like 2.5 months ago, and they just told me to keep showing up. The second time around, they called me to kind of come when they were in the local area again. That time I had a dark match, got to, you know, do my thing with Bo Dallas for 7 minutes. We had a, for what it was, great match, you know, for 7 minutes. But really, honestly, what I felt was that it just felt like it was where I belonged. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel like I was out of place. I didn't feel like I was the new guy coming in. Everyone was very, very just respectful and kind. And they treated me like, you know, I was one of them, you know, and it just felt like natural. It's where I belong to be, you know, and that's the biggest wrestling company, the biggest, you know, the biggest stars. And, you know, it's the grand mecca of pro wrestling, WWE. And I feel that's where I belong. So I'm going to keep going, keep plugging away. And, it was just nice to feel welcome and just feel that respect from my peers.
Well, it hasn't been easy to get to this point, to get, you know, all the way through the last, you know, couple of years. It's been, it's been a tough time and understandable, because your career has kind of been at that crossroads. You've had, you know, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to achieve my dreams? And when you have a decision to make, you can go one of two ways. You can go the route of, say, a Josh Gordon in the NFL, whose career might be coming to an end, and people are saying you're going to have to hit rock bottom before you could do something. You know, or you could do what you've done, which is move forward in a very positive manner and look to finish strong, as we talk about here on the show so often. So, you know, you're faced with those choices. And how did you deal with all that? What what's the magic formula for you?
Well, it's kind of hard to say like what exactly is the magic formula, but I can give you some ingredients that kind of help create that. I'm really close with my cousin. You know, he's getting married this September. I'm the best man for his wedding. And, you know, he kind of just gave me that phone call one time. I remember when I got released and I was down in the dumps and I really just had a hard time getting myself back up. I let myself go. I kind of got a lot bigger and was very depressed. But, you know, he gave me that kind of eye of the tiger type speech. If this is what you want to do, you can't just sit here and lay around. You got to pick yourself up and keep moving forward. And, that's what I did. And, I made adjustments. That's when I relocated back from Tampa to Louisville, kind of my home away from home, besides NYWC, you know, OVW, because I spent a lot of time there and really learned a lot there from a lot of great people. And, you know, I just kept moving forward. And a lot of times, you know, you have the ruts. And I can honestly say, if it wasn't for my family and their support, you know, the words from my mom, my dad, my brother, sister, and just the people close to me, just, you know, keeping you pushing. Because you do, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. As much as a machine Mike Mondo is, you know, Mike Brenly, you know, he's a human being. And, you know, sometimes, you know, he needs that support system to fall back on, someone to kind of keep you pushing, because it does get really tough. Because there's such limited spots and, you know, limited promotions of pro wrestling, and to make a living in it, and there's a lot of competition out there. So, you know, the times get really hard. You can get down on yourself, very discouraged. And it's just all about pick up the pieces and just keep moving forward and doing whatever it takes.
Well, the whole business is based on subjectiveness. It's not like measurable. It's not measurables where I can, if I'm a free agent, I can talk to a club about saying I scored X number of points per game, or I hit so many home runs, or I have so many sacks. With wrestling is, I can wrestle good? No. I drew money? No. Nobody draws money. It's the promotion that draws. I'm right. Better than everybody else? No, you're not. There's 50 guys that could do what you do. So how do you differentiate yourself? And that's one of the age-old questions. And I know we don't have the answers to that, but I do want to ask you, because you wrestled Bo Dallas a few weeks ago. I think they've done a tremendous disservice to Bo Dallas. I think the gimmick itself is entertaining, but I just think it's, I have a great fear. And you know what that is like.
You know
personally from your experience with the Spirit Squad. Tell me about what that was like, how they presented it to you. Did you think it was going to be good? How did you feel when it was going on, and how, you know, and how everything ended? Just kind of walk me through that whole process. I'm curious.
Sure. Well, originally I wasn't supposed to be a member of the Spirit Squad. Originally it was supposed to be Elijah Burke in my place. Something happens, stuff I heard, you know, I don't know what's definite, but from what I heard, that he didn't want to do it, the idea, and he turned it down, thus, you know, left the spot open. Well, I was home for, I want to say it was Christmas break. Tommy Dreamer called me out of nowhere, and I was under developmental contract at the time, and he said, hey, Mondo, you come to Newark for Raw. I know, if you're home for the holidays. I'm like, okay. So I went, and he goes, well, dye your hair blonde or whatever, and just look like Nemeth, he said. I'm like, well, okay, you know, whatever. So I went to TV. He took me to Stephanie, and he said, so would this work? And she goes, yeah, that works. Boom, right there. That's how I got into the Spirit Squad. Just like pretty much just my look alone, you know, so whatever. And then that weekend I did a loop of house shows. They knew the agents liked me. They knew I could wrestle at that point, but they just wanted to see me do the gimmick with Kenny, pass for flying colors that weekend. Before you knew it, 2 weeks later, we debuted as a Spirit Squad. You know, we kind of waited in Stephanie McMahon's office the day we met with Vince, because, like, we wanted to surprise, you know, and just show them that we were taking this gimmick and taking it seriously. We didn't know what to expect. None of us were cheerleaders or gymnasts. They actually paid for our cheerleading lessons and gymnastic lessons at a local college school in Louisville, Kentucky. So we can go down there and learn how to do the back handsprings and the back tucks and the round offs on our off time. And it was really, really interesting. And I have a whole new respect for gymnasts and cheerleaders, because I can't tell you how many times I fell like a bowling pin all the way down from the top. I definitely have a whole new respect for them. We were getting laughed at, but we had a good time. And finally, yeah, we debuted. And again, we had no idea where this was going, or, you know, it was kind of like one of those, like, you know, what the hell type gimmicks, you know, but it was a Vince McMahon idea. We knew that, and we knew he was going to get behind it, and we knew he was going to push it. And so we definitely wanted to take this opportunity and make the most of it. And that's pretty much what we did for 9 months. We got to wrestle with top guys in the top of the card for 6 months, maybe 7 months, with DX, Shawn Michaels, Triple H. Got to wrestle with Ric Flair, Sergeant Slaughter, Dusty Rhodes, Ron Simmons, Roddy Piper. Just a lot of great guys just that I got to learn from and just be a sponge and soak up that knowledge. Big Show and Kane did WrestleMania the day after. We won the tag team titles from Big Show and Kane. So just got to do a lot of really cool things. And it was one of those times that went so fast, you know?
You don't take any time to enjoy it because you're too busy doing it.
Yeah, and that's one thing. If there's any regrets that I do have, you know, I was 23 years old, like just really living in the moment at the time. I was young, you know, and I was a kid, and I'm 31 years old now. But if I can go back, I only have the mental photography. You know, I wish I would have took pictures at all the places I would have, you know, went to, like in, you know, Japan and Australia 4 times and Europe 4 times. But I wish I would have just a little bit more of pictures. But you know what? That's all right. I'll get another run and we'll do it again next time.
There you go. That's it.
So and it was that, cool. Yeah.
When it ended in kind of a less than glorious fashion. Were you angry with the way it ended, or how did you take that?
Well, I get that question a lot, and it's one of those things, you know, and the questions I get is, do I think the Spirit Squad gimmick had a lot of life to it still after we got packaged up? Yeah, of course I did. I think it had a whole lot more life to it, but unfortunately, you know, we're not in the driver's seat, and we're kind of just there doing what we're told. Was I, like, nervous or worried? Yeah, you know, I was, because we didn't know the next step for us. You know, we knew they wanted to push Kenny as the top heel. We knew that they wanted to make Jeter a babyface, and then they wanted to team up me and Dolph with Mitch as our manager. So we were trying to come up with, like, you know, some ideas, because we didn't know what our future held for us. And we got packaged up in this box, and I know it said OVW on it, and I get that a lot, like, how I feel about that. And originally we were told it was supposed to say like Tijuana on it, but I think it was a rib on Mitch, why they put OVW, but the rib was actually on all of us.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So
what they don't understand is that by doing that, they spent 9 months building you guys up, right? To eventually knock you off and then send you away, but to do it in such a disrespectful fashion basically cheapened everything that they had done. Because, you know, while they always found a way to kind of get up on top, there was a lot of time where you guys were kicking their asses. So if we suck and we're so horrible, how did we kick your ass for so much of that time? You know, well, I don't know. That's the type of thing I never understand. It's that two steps backward, one step forward mentality that they always seem to have.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, what really boils down to is that, okay, you guys may be the stars, you may be the draw, but at the end of the day, you always need someone to work with. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go out and do your thing, but, you know, once they've seen it, you know, then eventually the bell rings and you got to have someone to work. So, right. Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, I totally agree with you there.
So we got just a few minutes left. Talk to me about Ring of Honor, because I haven't been talking about, you know, too much office stuff with Ring of Honor lately. You know, when is Mondo going to come back? Because somebody asked me on the show a few weeks ago, pick two guys, anybody you'd like to have debut in Ring of Honor. And I think they were wanting me to pick, like, you know, indie names or some young guy or something like that. And I was like, Stevie Richards and Mike Mondo. Those are the two guys I would want in Ring of Honor. are we going to see you back in ROH, Mike? Is it a never say never type of thing or what?
Kevin, I would love to come back. I want to come back. I've reached out. I would like to give an answer, but unfortunately, I haven't been able to get any answer. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those things. It's just in wrestling. It's like, you know, it would just be nice if I could just get a clear cut yes or no. You know what I mean? Like, I understand if you don't have a spot or if there's something on the budget or whatever the case may be. You know, I understand that there's a lot going on. But it doesn't really take too much time for 5 or 10 seconds to say yes or no, you know. But I would love to come back. I want to come back. You know, I definitely miss performing in the, you know, for Ring of Honor and in front of all the great Ring of Honor fans. And I would love to just be on that platform again, showcasing my talent, doing what I do best, and that's pro wrestling.
Well, absolutely.
You know, so hopefully only time will tell. I'd love to have a definite answer for you and my fans, but I unfortunately don't. I'm still trying to find that answer out myself.
All right. So if we ask you now, where is LeBron James going to be playing basketball this upcoming season? What say you, Mike Mondo?
As far as what am I going to be up to? Where am I wrestling?
No. LeBron James.
LeBron James.
We're done talking wrestling. We're moving on to sports now.
Oh, okay. LeBron James.
Miami, you know, or Cleveland?
I'm going to say he's staying with Miami.
Okay.
I really do. I think he's going to stay with Miami.
I think they're going to burn him. I think if he doesn't go back to Cleveland now, they're going to burn him in effigy. They're going to hunt him down. I think he's almost gone too far dating him again.
How about Carmelo Anthony, though, still with the Knicks?
That's right. Carmelo, it looks like, just saw that as it came across before we started the show. Carmelo's going to be back with the Knicks. I'm not really surprised by that. Were you? I was kind of wondering if he was going to go away, if that might be addition by subtraction, get all new blood in there for Phil. But it's going to be good to have a 2010 guy in there every night for the Knicks, right?
Oh, definitely. And, I was kind of skeptical, too, what Carmelo was going to do, because I know, in terms of basketball career, as far as age is concerned, that he was getting, older. So he really wants to get that championship ring. And the Knicks, I know they're in that kind of grooming stage with now Phil Jackson taking over. And he's probably going to change up the whole scenario and do what's best for, obviously, what he thinks, who's a great manager and coach. He's proved that over the years. So I think I've also heard something about the deal with Phil Jackson coming to the Knicks, that he'll come as long as Carmelo stays. But who knows? It could be anything. But I'm actually happy that he's staying with New York. So hopefully they'll have a better season this year.
and your beloved New York Jets, their record in the upcoming NFL season will be?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say a good 50-50 season.
You think eight, maybe skate into the playoffs?
Hoping a wild card. I'm hoping, I'm a huge, huge Jets fan, but I got to be a realist too, and I can't talk too much because otherwise I'll be eating my words at the end. But I'm pushing for them. I'm always going to support the Jets. So,
what I'm trying to think, would a Jets Super Bowl win be probably like the most, fulfilling thing for you as a sports fan?
I would say either a Jets Super Bowl or a New York Islanders Stanley Cup.
Ah.
I was super into hockey this year. And I think I watched so many Islander games. Me and my brother, I think, went to like 8 of them. We'd go to StubHub, get those tickets. And we had some fun. So I think an Islanders Stanley Cup or a Jets championship, I think that'll be the top of the mountain for me.
That's awesome. Definitely. Mike, I want to have you back on the show, and I want to have you back on at some point, and we'll talk no wrestling at all.
I like it.
We did all the wrestling talk, and we could do hours about sports and about life and all kinds of stuff. So we just started to scratch the surface. I want to have you back on.
I love it, Kevin. I'll be more than happy to come back on. It's been a good time talking.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. I really am.
Yeah. Thanks, man. No, I appreciate it. It's a long, eventful road, but you've got to keep going, moving forward. Staying complacent or back is no options for me.
That's right. All right. Well, you can follow Mike Mondo on Twitter at MikeMondo83, which I'm guessing was the year you were born.
Yep. Actually, I tried to get Mike Mondo, but I was unable to. So I was like, what can I do next? 83. Yeah, that works.
There you go. Well, you can follow Mike on Twitter at MikeMondo83. And if you are a New York sports fan, tried and true, like him with the Jets and the Islanders, you'll feel the pain with him. If
Jets.
You could scream Jets, Jets. You, Howard Finkel, Michael Cole, three of the biggest Jet fans I know.
I think Taz is one of them.
Taz is a big Jets fan, too. All right. I got to ask you one more wrestling question real quick. Yes or no? Yeah. John Cena, they said on Raw this week, greatest world champion?
No.
Okay.
No.
Is he close? Is he in the conversation?
He's in the conversation. I think he's in the conversation, but there's so many great world champions. I mean, you really gotta pick that one apart.
I know.
I think they, for that 5 second answer.
Right. They're damning him. I think they're damning him with faint praise and giving him more a little bit more fuel for the enemy's fire, and may not be the best thing in the world for him. But anyway, I'm sure he'll do just fine. I think we're not going to be holding any charity functions for John Cena, right?
The hell of a guy, though. Awesome guy. Does the most Make-A-Wish foundations. I respect that. So my hat's off to John just for doing that alone.
He is a great one. All right, my friend, thank you so much, and we'll have you on again here soon, okay?
All right, buddy. Good talking to you, my man.
Same here. That's Mike Mondo here on The Kevin Kelly Show. I'm shooting.
suited up with street clothes. Hand me a nine and out the beat flows. Y'all know my steelo.
And now, the news the whole world is talking about. It's time for Trending Stories right here on The Kevin Kelly Show.
All right, we're back on The Kevin Kelly Show here on The Place to Be Nation. And no matter how you find us each and every week, I know earlier on JR gave us a rundown of different ways you could download and subscribe and be part of the show. The way I always get to it is right through the website. I always go to placetobenation.com because I always find other stuff that I want to read when I'm there. And there's other, you know, there's always news, there's information, there's other stuff besides wrestling. I'm getting more and more into other things besides wrestling, JR. What do you think about that? Is that a good idea?
Yeah, it's probably good to be well-rounded. I would agree with that.
There you go. So, I mean, what else is going on in the website right now? Give me some updates.
Well, the Tell biggest everybody. Thing we have going on right now is the World Cup of TV characters. So, Kevin, we have 256 of television's greatest characters of all time. We threw them into a randomizer, and we created a bunch of groups of eight. So, similar to the World Cup, we have the groups of eight, and people are picking four out of that eight. Four from each group will advance to a round of 128, and then we go to a regular tournament bracket. So basically just like the World Cup style. So okay. We are through, I think, like 14 or 16 or so groups so far that are up there. Voting is open right now. It's a lot of fun. And we're going to go through some voting right now with you, okay?
Okay.
Since you haven't done it yet. So Group A that went up, here are the eight characters you need to pick four that you want to advance, okay?
Okay.
We have Jack Bauer from 24, Eric Cartman from South Park, The Doctor from Doctor Who, Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks, Tony Soprano from The Sopranos, Olivia Pope from Scandal, John Munch from Law & Order SVU and Homicide, and Richard Hatch from Survivor.
John Munch. The three are easy. The fourth, I'm torn.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Bauer, Eric Cartman, and Tony Soprano.
Right.
Are layups. Where I get a little hung up with is Olivia Pope and Richard Hatch.
Mm-hmm.
I love Scandal. It's a great show. Richard Hatch, though, is the one guy that I remember from Survivor. I never watched it, but I remember him because he was naked and then had IRS troubles. I must go with Olivia Pope, however, to keep it fair, and because I think she'll get that quivering lip look going that she does on the show, and everyone will be happy.
Well, I so can tell Olivia, you that, yep, go ahead.
Olivia Pope, Tony Soprano, Eric Cartman, and Jack Bauer.
Okay, well, the top three you picked are safely looking to be headed to the second round. Your girl Olivia Pope, though, not faring well, because right now Doctor Who is in fourth.
Well, anybody who picks fans. I know the song.
Yes.
And I know that's about it. So anyway.
Okay. All right. Let's do Group B here. And we'll do a couple every episode. So
okay.
We have Rust Cole from the new show True Detective, that was highly regarded from many sources.
Sure.
Sonny Crockett from Miami Vice. Mm-hmm. A gentleman named Q from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Brenda Johnson from the show The Closer. Jenna Maroney from the hilarious 30 Rock. Your boy Big Bird from Sesame Street showing up here. Lenny Briscoe from Law and Order, and Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Well, obviously, I've got to go with Sonny. I've got to go with Topanga.
Yes. All of them.
And I'm going to throw in Big Bird, too, as the ultimate icon.
Okay.
I am really stumped with the rest of these. I'm tempted to throw Lenny Briscoe in because of the chance that he's related yes. to Mark or Jay.
Yeah, he's got the E on the end of his name, so it would be that family of Briscoes, not
I want
Jack
the Briscoes must be in the World Cup. Okay. I must have that. Okay.
All right, let me put the votes in here, and three of your top four are looking to advance. Big Bird is dominating this category. Topanga and Lenny Briscoe. Sonny Crockett down four votes to Q from Star Trek. So if you guys are Miami Vice fans out there, get to the website now and get these votes in for Sonny Crockett, who is now four behind.
Sonny Crockett was part of the I mean, that was a cultural look.
Mm.
That show shaped a look.
Yes.
That was very dominant for a while. It was quite douchey, mm-hmm. but it was a look that, I could see Red Dragon wearing a look like this, you know.
All right. Do I do one more?
Yeah, let's keep going. I love it.
Okay. Here we go. Stewie Griffin from Family Guy.
Okay.
Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Dorothy's Bornak from The Golden Girls. Saul Goodman from Breaking Bad, Borat from The Ali G Show, John Luther from Luther, G-Car from Babylon 5, and Maggie Jacobs from Extras.
Damn it. Stewie
this
Griffin.
Is, yeah, this is the legit five here, at least. That makes it tough.
Really?
You don't think there's five good ones here?
Uncle Phil.
Oh, yeah. Uncle Phil's awesome.
Who's the rest on this list?
Dorothy from the Golden Girls.
Okay, Dorothy's in.
And then, I mean, I'm not a Breaking Bad guy, but I do know that Saul Goodman was one of the top characters on that show.
I'm not a Breaking Bad guy either, and I feel stupid for not voting for him because I have a feeling he's probably going to win.
And then Borat.
See, Borat to me is a movie character.
Yeah, but he was big on the show first.
That's true. I'm going to go with the Breaking Bad guy only because, to me, that was a 100% true television character. There can be no mistake about it. And I think Breaking Bad, you know, widely regarded as a great, great show that I never watched. So
okay, well, those are the four right now that are leading.
Okay, good. Then I don't feel stupid.
The four you picked. Borat, six votes behind. So
okay.
All right, one last one here. We have Oliver Queen from the show Arrow, Guinan from Star Trek The Next Generation, who is Whoopi Goldberg, Leroy Jethro Gibbs from NCIS, Desmond Hume from Lost, Jesse Pinkman, also from Breaking Bad, Selena Myers from Veep, a fantastic show that everyone should be watching, that is Julie Louis-Dreyfus, Beavis from Beavis and Butthead, and Stephen Colbert from The Colbert Report.
I'm going to go with Stephen Colbert, Beavis, the character from Breaking Bad, because I would like to maybe have a Breaking Bad versus Breaking Bad match.
There you go, Jesse Pinkman.
And I need one more. I'll throw your Julie Louis-Dreyfus girl in there.
She's so, I mean, you're a Seinfeld guy, right?
Yes.
And you love Elaine.
Yes.
This is like a jacked up, roided up, swearing presidential version of Elaine.
25 years ago on the 4th of July weekend, Seinfeld premiered.
And I'm going to break some news right here on the Kevin Kelly Show because in August, we are doing 7 days of Seinfeld at PlaceToBeNation.com. We have all kinds of lists. We're going to have articles and possibly a podcast. So stay tuned to that.
That's incredible. I love it.
Yes, that'll be awesome.
It.
Okay, so if you all want to vote, we're through Group R right now. So how many letters is that? That's a lot of letters. That's like, what, 18 groups or so are posted right now. So you head over. There's a tag for it, PTBN World Cup of TV Characters. You can bang out your votes like that. You can get the numbers up and put your favorite characters through, too.
Who does all this work?
All of us. It's a group effort.
There is a ton of stuff on this website.
There is. We have an awesome, awesome directory of great contributors and editors and everything else. Brad Woodling does so much stuff to keep everything organized. Yeah, he does. He works hard.
And then you
got McGinn, who has the title but not the work. Once you got on the Carino show, everything else went in the back mirror. It's amazing how quick.
Well, I don't know about that. And did you intentionally leave out? Earlier on, before the Mondo interview. Mm. You did the wrestling flash, and you left out the fact that Carino is the third Steen opponent.
You know what? It was a huge paragraph. I try and keep that under a minute and a half. Dan told me I could cut out, and I didn't even look ahead. I went there. But that's big news. Steve Carino, the third opponent.
I don't like it at all.
No?
No,
you're afraid. You don't like to watch him wrestle. That's why.
I hate watching him wrestle, and I told him that, and I don't want him to wrestle. Mm. And they talked to me about it. And I reluctantly gave it my blessing.
So what do you think of the 9 gimmicks he does on the indies? Does those all count as him wrestling?
It's not the same.
Okay.
It's not the same because when you're in that environment, he goes crazy. And I don't like it. I don't like it. So.
Okay.
Anyway, part of me is I don't like it when my friends wrestle anyway. Mm. I'm too afraid they're going to get hurt.
Good thing you don't have any friends.
See? I knew there was a reason why.
Yes.
All right. Now that we've done that and all of that about the World Cup of television characters, just part of the fun and entertainment you'll find at PlaceToBeNation.com. Of course, I love interviewing my guests.
Yeah.
But my favorite segment of the show is coming up next. And that is trending stories right here. We'll run down some stories. We'll give our analysis. And there's always little funny music bits, too. But we announce it first by saying it is time now for trending story number one.
Kevin, there's no crying in baseball, but a sleepy Bronx Bombers fan is whining in court that he got mocked by two ESPN announcers for snoozing in his seat at Yankee Stadium. Andrew Rector has filed a $10 million defamation suit against the team, the sports network, its play-by-play man Dan Shulman, and big leaguer-turned-awful commentator John Kruk, who he claims unleashed an avalanche of disparaging words over his nationally televised nap. Rector admits that in a Bronx Supreme Court suit, he briefly slept during the April 13th night game between the Yankees and Red Sox, but his typo-ridden suit says Shulman and Kruk's false statements, including suggestions that Rector is not worthy to be a Yankee fan, and is a fatty cow that needed two seats at all time and represent symbol of failure. What do you think of this lawsuit, Kevin? And why the hell is he suing the Yankees? I don't get why they're included in this.
I don't know. It's just he's an angry, sleepy man.
I guess so.
I think, you know, if you wanted to, I'm not sure what the legal precedent is, but if John Kruk called him fatty cow, I think we might want to look under the statute about the pot calling the kettle black.
I'd be if he said he only had one nut, you know, because that's a Kruk thing too, right?
That's true. I know John Kruk for two things. One, he's overweight. Two, he had ball cancer.
Right, yes.
And one of his nuts is gone. I think the lawsuit is without merit. I think it's ridiculous. And I think the fact that this guy, you know, his typo-ridden, you know, charges that he... I just love it. I think it's great. And the picture of him online just, you know, solidified. Case dismissed. That's it. Here's the picture. You are fatty McFatterton.
He's saying mental anguish, loss of future income, loss of earning. I mean, did anyone even remember this? What's he losing? I don't know.
And he looked like a bum. And what the clip that I heard was that his friend was sitting next to him and was letting him sleep.
Right.
And basically, Kruk said, well, if I was friends with that guy, I'd let him sleep too.
Well, I mean, Kruk's an idiot, first of all. He's one of the worst announcers out there. But I don't get why the Yankees are involved in the suit. I can see why. I don't get why MLB is involved in the suit either. Apparently, they're one of the defendants. But
deep pockets.
I mean, the guy's fat. He's sleeping. I don't see what the problem is. It is what it is. You're in a public place.
Why don't you sue Father Time? The Sandman. That's it. Sue the Sandman
sue
for Lays putting you to sleep.
For the chips you have eaten to get to that point.
Sue Butter.
Yes. I mean, we got to watch out, you know. He might be listening to this freaking show. We might be next on his lawsuit.
Well, I'm in that pot calling the kettle black scenario here.
Yeah, but you don't sleep at wrestling shows. I never seen you sleeping during the show.
No, I sleep as soon as I get back to the room, though. It's awesome. Air conditioning crank. Although Carino keeps the TV on. What do you think about that?
Well, that's okay. I do the same.
Do you really? Okay. I know a few people that are like that.
Well, I have to hope that my wife is like passed out by times, because sometimes, see, it's hypocritical because she'll have it on loud and I come into bed and I lower it. I'm all nice. I get Dirty Network fired up and she's like, oh, can we turn the TV off? I can't get back to sleep. I'm like, but you just fell asleep and you had it on. Now you can't fall asleep with it on. Women, Kevin.
I know.
Women.
It's tough.
It's a hard life.
I usually, you know, again, air conditioning cranked down as far as it can get. Carino's cool with that. And he's like, I like to sleep with the TV on. He used to room with Steen, so Steen couldn't put up with it anymore. So I was like, yeah, sure, it's fine. And it's cool. It just is taking some getting used to.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for me not to listen or pay attention to what's on the screen. But once I'm asleep, I'm asleep. It's great.
You know,
it's
that awesome. Rector's mom was was chatted about. When Rector could not be reached. So apparently he also lives at home, which makes sense.
Rector damn near killed her. So anyway, yeah, Rector got
it's
no
killing
chance.
Me. I had a joke and it's a few minutes ago and I lost it. And now I can't get it back and it's driving
damn
me
damn it. All right. Let me know if you do. We'll rewind the tape.
Okay.
All right. Well, maybe you could shoehorn this joke into the next trending story. It's trending story number two.
On Monday, we learned that Panthers running back D'Angelo Williams gave up his seat on planes to military members, but one website claims Williams may have been duped. Guardian of Valor, a popular website that seeks to oust military imposters, was tipped off by several readers that several parts of the Marines' uniform and Williams' photo were inconsistent with the way they're traditionally worn. Among the inconsistencies noted, a Marine never wears a cover indoors unless he is armed. A Marine would never be at the airport in dress blue A. He wouldn't be wearing his cover while seated indoors. He wouldn't be wearing a shooting badge on the right side of his uniform. He is dressed in dress blue alpha uniform, which is not authorized for leave or liberty. And he is wearing a rifle badge on his right breast pocket. You do not wear shooting badges in the dress blue uniform. You wear it with your B uniform. According to the Guardian of Valor, the same man was found in an airport in the Philippines on July 1st and was approached by a Marine who questioned him about the inconsistencies in his dress. So, Kevin, again now, we talked about something like this a couple weeks ago, these false scams. Poor D'Angelo Williams gives up his first-class seat for this joker, and it turns out he may not even be a legit Marine. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the fact that D'Angelo Williams, no shame on him at all for potentially being duped. He's a class guy and a class act for giving up his first-class seat for soldiers. Now, this guy seemed to go to great lengths to impersonate a soldier.
Right.
It's not like he just got, you know, he went to Party City and bought the, you know, Commando Carl outfit. This guy spent money and time, and there must be some real nerds out there that know exactly what that, you know, some guy's wearing the badge on the wrong side.
Or maybe it's the sex Marines.
You're never an ex-Marine, by the way. You're always a Marine.
Okay, well, maybe it's a retired Marine. That's...
But give it a rest. Although, some, you know, Marines do get upset about that. In fact, yeah, all military men do get upset
they
about
should.
That.
They work hard to earn those badges and earn that uniform, and you got some
true.
Slob going out there sleeping at Yankee Stadium with the A blue on. And
you're confusing stories.
No, I'm all over this. I agree with this one. I don't think anyone impersonating a military man for whatever reason makes no sense to me. I mean, it's just...
It doesn't. And again, if he's trying to gain from it, then yeah, there's a problem. But you can impersonate anybody at any time. And we're very, we're never a, you know, ask for ID society. I'm always a trust person anyway.
Well, you try and impersonate Michael Cole each and every week. Let me see how that goes.
Oh, yeah, that happens every week, sure. It's the... was that the joke you were holding back?
No.
Because that was weak. I think D'Angelo Williams' efforts outwork and supersede what this clown is doing. But again, if they find this guy, you know, again, I don't know what they do. Is it against the law? I know it's against the law to represent yourself
right
as like a Medal of Honor winner or holding some sort of esteemed military rank, if you will. But I don't know if it's illegal to like impersonate a. I know it's illegal to impersonate a police officer. Mm. Don't know if it's the same thing for a Marine or any member of the military.
I guess it would probably depend on what he did. I mean, just taking a seat, while I think it's morally reprehensible, I don't know if there's any illegality about it. I would think if he used that to benefit somehow, either monetarily or got someone in trouble, because, you know, like I said, impersonate a police officer, you pull someone over. You know, if you cause an issue like that, I would say that's probably legal trouble. But for what he did here, maybe a fine. I don't know if he get jail time for it.
I don't know. But he needs to stop.
Yeah, probably not a good
and
idea.
Stop it now. All right. So we've done two trending stories, and usually we have at least three, and I'm hoping that we have a third trending story, which would begin right now.
Kevin, she's a diva who can dish it out and take it. Hot on the heels of Joan Rivers' volatile CNN interview that saw her explosively storm off set, the 81-year-old sat down with Late Show host David Letterman and got a surprising taste of her own medicine. While defending her eyebrow-raising hostility while promoting her new book, Diary of a Mad Diva, the Late Show host got up and left the sharp-tongued diva sitting solo and even appearing to momentarily suffer a lack of words. The playful rebuttal came just months after Rivers criticized CNN anchor Frederica Whitfield of being judgmental, very nasty, very opinionated, and very negative. It was like my wedding night, she exclaimed. Left her own devices at Letterman stage, the legendary entertainer launched into a witty stand-up routine to emphasize her dry sense of humor. Kevin, what are your thoughts on Joan Rivers still being any sort of viable person?
Well, I've worked in the wrestling business for 23 years now, and that was what she said, of course, was reprehensible and, you know, just gross. Accusing somebody of being a tranny to me is such a slur.
Yeah,
it has a funny connotation, but it's really a slur. And just calling somebody gay, that's like schoolyard, that's like 7-year-old stuff.
Right.
But she said it about Obama and the First Lady. shock because she's got a book coming out. She's trying to draw money. 81 years old. Letterman had her on the show, put her over, let her do her thing. Again, it's all about drawing money. She's going to outsell, you know, probably a lot of other books this year, but I don't know. I'd be interested in reading it. She's had a hell of a career and a ton of face work done. I can't get past her face. I can't. Every time I saw a picture of her, it just looked like...
Oh, just don't pick your head up.
What is that supposed to mean? Because I'm sleeping at the Yankee game?
I feel like E! Has single-handedly kept her in the spotlight and her career going. I don't know where she would be without the E! Network.
I don't even watch E! Is that right. Where Total Divas is on?
Total Divas is on E! And also on Dirty Network. I only know because my wife, that's like the one channel she'll watch a lot. Like she'll.
What's your one go-to background noise channel?
Well, it's now Dirty Network. I'll throw on a lot. I guess ESPN, if there's a game on. I'm so checked out on SportsCenter and all their shows because I hate a lot of their analysts.
Non-sports, non-wrestling.
If it's evening, like between 6 and 9-ish, it'll be whatever good syndicated sitcom is on. Like TBS will have Seinfeld or Family Guy, Big Bang Theory, something like that. I'll throw those on. Those are probably my main ones. Or I have some movie channels that come with my TV package, so I'll flip through a quick Showtime and Cinemax, see if there's anything on there. If not, probably to sports, pretty much.
Yeah. I am usually I'll go with, of course, the ESPNs. And then if nothing's on there, it'll be MLB, NFL, or actually I'm starting to get the CBS, NBC, Fox in the rotation as well. If sports is completely out of the question, then it's Food Network or HGTV. Those are my fallbacks. And then occasionally, you know, political stuff too. I'll watch Fox. I'll watch other stuff, History Channel. But if Food Network is probably first, and I'm sure you're surprised by this.
I'm not saying anything. See, you're so sensitive.
It's a shocking development here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
FXX has become a channel I'll flip to a lot too. I like that.
There you go.
They have good shows on there.
There you go. You know, and the Seinfeld on TBS is a go-to as
well.
Yeah,
that's a must. A must there. Now you're... God damn it. It was some Seinfeld-related thing with the guy. Oh, that's what my... It wasn't a joke. It was a comment I had. Going back to the sleeping guy. I'm glad you said Seinfeld. Doesn't that seem like a storyline right out of like George Costanza's playbook? Guy falls asleep at the game, gets on TV, and then ends up suing. Like, that's a Costanza right there, right?
Gets sued for making fun of some guy.
Right.
Do you follow Seinfeld Today on Twitter?
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, they had a really good one that I retweeted. It actually made a lot of sense. I'm trying to remember what the heck it was now. It was a couple days.
Kramer rents out his apartment to...
Yes.
What is that, Airbnb?
Yes, that was the thing. Yeah.
You're homeless.
Kramer rents out his apartment every night on Airbnb and lives in the hallway. Kramer, I'm making cash hand over fist. Jerry, you're homeless.
I love that one.
Yeah.
All right. Is that it for trending stories?
No, we got one more.
What? There's a special trending stories?
Bonus, baby.
I love it. Let's hear it.
Kevin, the ESPN The Magazine's body issue 2014 hits newsstands and the cover boy, Prince Fielder.
This made me want to throw up.
You didn't like that picture?
I hate all of these pictures.
He's got a lot of tattoos. One's of gummy bears. One's a, I don't know, David Bowie looking mask smoking a cigarette.
I don't want to look at naked dudes. I don't want to look at naked dudes under any circumstance. I don't care if they're you know, like Larry Fitzgerald extending to catch a pass. I don't want to look at that. Now,
this Prince Fielder one is kind of disturbing. It's the pose, I think, that gets me.
Prince Fielder.
So the reason I brought this up, if there was a wrestling The Body magazine, who would you want it, not want to see in it? Who would you be okay with having in it if you're making this magazine up?
Oh, gosh. See, this is tough now because under any circumstance, I don't want to look at dudes.
All right. Well, let's just say you have to. You have to make money by printing this magazine.
See, I would make it funny. I would put them like Kane in an awkward position, you know, like frying eggs or something like that.
I think Kane like doing the choke slam, or no, Kane doing a tombstone with the guy's head blocking
yes.
the private parts from the side. There you go.
So
there's one.
Gay.
See, now you're feeling it.
That's so gay.
It's okay.
Who's the extra that's going to have to take that?
Mike Mondo. That's how he gets back in the company.
He would make it look great, too.
By the way, the Spirit Squad stuff was really interesting. And the Spirit Squad as a group, I thought, was always really impressive because he mentioned it, how their mindset and goal was to completely throw themselves into the gimmick. And I thought they did an awesome job with that. Like, I thought it shone through how hard they were working to get that thing over. Like, they never seemed checked out on it.
No, never. And
I thought it was a good gimmick. I thought it was like, it's funny because you look at the Shield nowadays, and it was early on, it was like a proto. They were booked pretty well those first couple of months at a group of five guys that were all positioned pretty equally. And I remember when they won the tag titles right after WrestleMania, they looked pretty good, and they were booked pretty well until DX started squashing them.
Right. Then that was it. And that's what happens. The heat heals up, and then they throw them into the fire of the babyface to fuel the babyface. So
I thought they were. I always liked them. I thought they were really entertaining in that role. I didn't care. That was like a cheerleader thing. I thought it stood out. They were different. They were all really athletic. And I thought it was a great gimmick. It's funny because it kind of brings it full circle to your Bo Dallas comments, because I think anyone can survive a gimmick. I don't think Bo Dallas is ruined by this. I think he's actually taking the Spirit Squad style and the mentality into that gimmick, where he's really throwing himself into it. And I think he's getting over. I don't think he's buried in it. I mean, is he a guy with that look and style going to go far anyway?
I don't know. I don't know. I see your point. And I think, you know, listening to Mondo, you definitely can see that anybody can survive anything. But I really just think, and here's the reason why, and it's not that he's going to be buried by the fans. But Vince is a mark, okay? Vince sees things like the TV viewer at home.
Isn't everyone a mark?
He's the guy that's running the company. So he books the guy as Bo Dallas to do this stupid thing, right? But then that's how he sees Bo Dallas, the wrestler. And he thinks like, oh, well, he's a jerk and a schlub and nobody likes him. Seriously. He's crazy. So I just hope it doesn't hurt him.
Isn't everyone a mark?
They're all crazy in that fishbowl of the WWE.
And I ask you that question because it's also topical. Did you see the Dave Meltzer quote? How like anyone that uses the term smark or IWC is an idiot, basically said. What do you think of those terms? Mark, smart. Like, to me, I've never cared for the smark thing because I feel like everyone's a mark. Like, I hate when I'll read on a message board or on a blog and someone's like, oh, back when I was a mark. No, you're still a fucking mark. You're sitting on a blog talking wrestling, and you probably paid for it in the last 6 months. So, to me, anyone that spends any money and enjoys wrestling is a mark. That is the exact definition of a mark. Now, you may be knowledgeable. You're not a mark in the sense that you believe it all, but you believe enough to still pay money for it. And that's all they care about. They don't give a shit if you know that Jay Briscoe and Mark Briscoe are really brothers and Edge of Christian World. Like, they don't care. Sure, okay, you're super smart, but you're still a friggin' mark.
And I think nowadays, wrestling companies that kind of embrace that and don't insult the people, just give them great wrestling action, they're the ones that benefit from it. Because what we're finding is the more people are just kind of swept away in the great wrestling stories, they just become fans.
Right.
There's not a level of smart versus not smart, new fan, old fan, casual fan, whatever. There isn't any of that. Everybody's just fans. And there's a bit of a sideshow to that. I'm not a big proponent of the I use it as a negative. I use it as in the pejorative sense when I'm referring to somebody being a mark. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's usually people in the business.
Like Dan McGinn.
No, Dan McGinn. No, oh, yeah. No, no.
Well,
no.
You haven't listened when he's chatting his guests up on Carino's show then, I guess.
I know, like, Mr. Perfect told me, he said, I never had a problem with doing jobs. We're all jobbers. Our job here is to get everybody over. We're all marks. We're all jobbers. That's it. So I never worry about that stuff too much. And I don't know why Meltzer gets offended by that term or says it's stupid for people to say it. Vince is a mark, though.
Yeah.
That's ironic.
Well, he has to be to dedicate your life to it. I mean, you're a mark. He's a mark. Everyone's a mark.
Exactly. We're all marks.
Yeah.
Brad's sitting in his at home on his golden pile of money.
Yes. The all right, I wanted to talk some sports here, Kev.
Okay.
A lot going on. Let's quickly hit the World Cup. So final is set. Argentina, Germany. Argentina won in penalties today over the Netherlands. Germany laid the smack down on Brazil. Not even close. Just beat them the shit out of them out of the gate. Who do you like in the final? So Brazil was my pick heading in. Yours was Spain. I did a little bit better.
You sure but, did.
Yeah.
At least you got out of the
at least my team won a game. That was
oh, pitiful. Yeah.
Spain even won.
Obviously, everybody's going to say Germany. My fear is that just it came too easy for them. Brazil laid down. I didn't see the game with Argentina, so I don't know how physical it was. They have the shortest recovery time. I'm going to say Germany because probably a 7-1 game is easier physically on the body than a scoreless. They won in kicks or in.
Yeah, penalty kicks. Yeah.
Okay. You know, than a nail biter, you know, a day later, 24 hours of rest and an easy game. I'm going to go with Germany.
Okay. Me too. I like Germany as well. Let's skip the All-Star game because we're kind of running tight on time. And
okay.
So I want to talk NBA free agency because that's the big.
Yeah.
So let's do a few minutes there. So LeBron James met with Pat Riley today in Las Vegas, left without committing to anything. Rumors are swirling. Chris Sheridan has been on the story all day that he is going back to Cleveland. There's a rumor that Cleveland's trying to trade for Kevin Love, and then they would also bring in Mike Miller and Ray Allen, and that would complete the Cavs overhaul. The Celtics helped the Cavs out today. There's a three-way trade to help the Cavs clear out cap room and make room for LeBron so they can now offer him a max deal. You have Chris Bosh out there who has an offer from Houston for a max deal, and word is that he's waiting for LeBron to make his decision, which makes no sense to me. Why would you turn down max money from a legit contender to maybe go back to Miami with LeBron? I don't understand what Bosch is thinking. But where do you think all these guys land? And, of course, I think we mentioned earlier, Carmelo looks like he's going back to the Knicks. So what are your thoughts on all these moves?
Well, I think, obviously, to me, if Michael Jordan had this level of freedom of free agency when he was a player, how the game would have been different. LeBron, to me, is the biggest superstar that any of the four major sports have ever known. Because of how he is able to absolutely command not just top money, multiple teams vying for him, but he gets a league of his peers to basically all put their lives on hold to wait to see what he is going to do. I think he winds up in Cleveland. I said before, I think that if he's teasing Cleveland again, Cleveland will revolt and they will absolutely drive to Miami and burn his house down.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate on him for leaving the first time. I hated on him how he did it, but I was fine with him going to Miami to go through all this again. And I mean, it's not him per se. He's not driving the rumors, but he's not quieting them.
No.
It really would be a bad tease. I just don't see what Miami has to offer him besides place of residence over Cleveland at this point. Cleveland has a much better team in place, has better assets. Miami just is bereft of talent. Are they going to put a better squad out there than the one that lost to the Spurs this year? Dwayne Wade's defense in the finals is atrocious. You know, Bosch, does he even go back? The couple guys they brought in, McRoberts, and who else did they sign? Someone else. I don't think those are enough to get them over the hump. I just don't see why he'd go back to Miami unless he signed like a 2-year deal or something like that where he'd be out again in a couple years. But if I'm him, I go back to Cleveland.
I think, again, if he signs a short-term deal, I think that's bad. I think if he's going to go back to Cleveland, he's got to be all in, sign
a
5-year
deal. Cleveland, he's going to go max. I'm talking if he went back to Miami.
Yeah, okay, that would be fine. I think a lot of the blame I give to this scenario in Miami is with Dwayne Wade. If I'm Dwayne Wade, I'm taking the money. But I'm not Dwayne Wade, so I'm going to criticize him for taking the money. He's shot. He's broken down. He's got nothing left. Or what he has is as a role player, not as a $20 million a year guy. Okay? $15 million a year guy. He's not at that level anymore.
Right.
he's screwing this all up. If he would retire and walk away, then they would have the freedom to be able to bring someone else in to fill that role.
Yeah. Like I mean, Carmelo. Wade, if LeBron leaves, I'm curious where he goes. Because I know Miami wants him to retire there, and he's a legend there, blah, blah, blah. But a team like the Bulls could be interesting for Wade if he takes less money, yeah. If he wants to win another title. Now, if he just wants to say, I got my rings. I want to retire in Miami. This is where I'm from. This is the team that made me, blah, blah, blah. But, if I'm LeBron, I am not hitching my wagon to that guy. Yeah, that's for sure. And Bosch, I don't know what he's thinking. I mean, why wouldn't you go to teams? Good James Harden. You got Dwight Howard. Bosch can fit right in, slide right in, doesn't have to play underneath as much with Howard there.
God, I think Harden and Howard are both so overrated.
Yeah, but that three, that's a good three. That puts him in
it
the
is
top,
a good three.
That puts him in the top of the West. That puts him up there with San Antonio and Oklahoma.
Where's your boy Jeremy Lin going to be after all this?
Well, not in Houston, it sounds like.
Philly?
They'd have to get rid of him to make the room. I've heard Boston rumored. I've heard Philly.
Oh, I'd love it if he was in Boston. Linsanity coming.
Yeah.
To the TD.
Be interesting. They're in another interesting spot, too, because they have a lot of room to work with, and with the guys coming off their books, they'd have something like $36 million next year to work with, and it depends. They're still hot for Kevin Love. They're hoping if they can't trade for Love that he goes somewhere or stays in Minnesota to make him a free agent next year, and then they'll just try and sign him outright. But they have a lot of open space, a lot of cap room to work with, too.
What about your boy Donald Sterling? He's...
Told everyone to go screw today again.
I love Donald Sterling. I love the trial. I love every second of it. I would watch it.
You think Saturday Night Live is just like banging their head? The writers are banging their head against the wall that they're not on right now during all this. Like,
please, Lorne, let us do a show.
They'd be eating this up right now, and they'd be leading every show with the Donald Sterling lawsuit.
It would be awesome. All right, so we both think LeBron is going to go to Cleveland.
Yeah, I can't believe it, but I think so. I mean, I after all this is coming out and everything's pointing that way, Jermaine Wiggins on the Sports Hub, who has Wiggy sources, and he's usually correct. He's never really been wrong with these predictions he makes, and he said his ears on the ground are telling him LeBron's going back to Cleveland. So
that's amazing.
I haven't seen anyone say he's going back to Miami. I'll put it that way.
No, that's true.
Yeah, I've only seen everyone say he's going to Cleveland, like any kind of source type thing. I've seen denials. But I've seen nothing saying, oh, he's definitely headed back to Miami.
All right. So that is your free agency talk, and we'll settle things over the weekend. And by the time we get back together, we'll know where everybody has settled in.
Mm-hmm. And if Pat Riley is retired, because that's coming quickly after LeBron leaves, I think.
On the placetobenation.com, I know there will be some talk about that. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back, and we'll put this 13th episode of the Kevin Kelly Show to bed. It's the Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at TheHistoryOfWWE.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith's blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
All right, we're back on the Kevin Kelly Show. To me, pretzels are a pretty awesome snack.
I gotta say, thirsty.
Yeah, so I these pretzels are making me thirsty. So we're back, Kevin Kelly Show. We've had Mike Bondo on. Follow Mike on Twitter at MikeBondo83 and get his thoughts on different things. This is generally the time where we start to do a little bit of Twitter Q&A. We went a little long with Bondo. We'll dedicate more time to Twitter Q&A on our next episode with Danny Cage from the Monster Factory as our special guest. So what's the best one we've got in the stack here this week?
Well, they're all great, so there's no best one. So I'm going to randomly pick one. Okay. And we'll hit the rest of these guys up over the next week or two. We have a bunch, and they're all awesome questions. And we have an email we're going to get to as well.
All right.
Okay, so from at Barth Matty, what is the worst gimmick you've seen put on someone with legitimate talent? I think it's fitting considering some of our discussion here tonight. I think it's a good question.
Well, I mean, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, you know, breathing fire, carrying the dragon to ringside. It is a very good question. And I mean, I guess, you know, you could make the argument about the Spirit Squad, but it was five unknown guys and they were all very, you know, good to very, very good professional wrestlers.
How about Isaac Yankum?
God, Isaac Yankum. Isaac Yankum has got to be up there. When I first read this question earlier this week, I did think about that early mid or that mid 90s. You know, Isaac Yankum, the Goon,
Ringmaster,
Freddie Joe. Oh, the Ringmaster wins, but Freddie Joe Floyd on Tracy Smothers, you know, come on. How do you not have Tracy Smothers on Raw? I'd put that on today. So, yeah, there were a bunch of really rotten ones. The Ringmaster stinks. Isaac Yankum, horrible.
The Zodiac.
You said good talent. Zodiac. Horrible. Yeah, there's been some real doozies out there.
Golga.
But Golga, I don't know. Yeah, Golga was rotten, but, you know. What are you going to do with John Tenta?
He's bring back man. Earthquake. Yeah, Tenta was awesome.
Bring back Earthquake. Why mess around?
I agree. All right, ready All for right. this email from Aaron Chase?
I'm ready.
All right, I have a quick question for you. Wanted to flex the fantasy booking muscles for a moment and gather your thoughts. Let's hear you book Brock Lesnar's Path of Destruction between now and next year's Mania. Say he's working a limited number of dates. We'll keep it simple and select five opponents for Brock to face between now and Mania. Only on the major shows, Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Rumble, maybe No Way Out, and for sure the big Mania card next season. So Money in the Bank's already passed us, so let's say Night of Champions, since that's the show they're really pimping to get people to order the network again. What five opponents are you choosing? Do you run any rematches, or do you put them to use against five new challengers? WWE's loaded with talent, with guys like Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt, Batista, The Shield. There's so many guys that can make for so many great matches with Brock. How would you handle the beast, Kev? And he means Brock Lesnar. Hope I wasn't too long-winded for you here. I'd be stoked to hear you answer the question before it becomes irrelevant. Huge fan of the shows you're cracking out for us for free. Keep them coming. And thank you, Aaron, for listening. We appreciate you taking the time to send that email in. It's a great question. And Kevin Kelly, I turn things over to you. Five matches. It could be separate opponents, rematches, however you want to book it. Take us from SummerSlam to Mania.
First of all, what does he mean for free? I'm not getting paid for this?
Yeah, keep checking them out.
All right. Well, that's a very good question. So I think Brock wins at SummerSlam. And I think you get an obvious rematch out of one. So that would be... what are they doing? So they've got something between... No, I think you hold off the rematch to Survivor Series, right?
Yeah, I say we're going to have him...
Or maybe the Rumble.
Well, we're going to have him at... Night of Champions, though. So you need SummerSlam, Night of Champions, which is September, because that's the 6-month renewal. So they're pushing that show hard.
Okay. Survivor Series would be 3, Rumble 4, Elimination Chamber 5. Rumble 4, Mania 5. So SummerSlam, Meta Champion, Survivor Series, Rumble, Mania.
I don't want to burn through everybody. I don't want to burn through everybody at all because I think he puts Roman Reigns over. I think Roman Reigns the new world champion at WrestleMania. Let's say that. I don't feel Bray Wyatt. I think you keep him away. I mean, it's obvious that you could do. It'd be easy to do Orton, just because. But I don't want to turn Brock. So. You got to be careful. I don't want to completely turn Bray. Maybe I do. I mean, really, the focus is on the two guys that were in the ring when Raw went off the air. Cena and Roman Reigns. Transition from one to the other. I think the scenario you brought up before with Cesaro, I think that might be a nice little bridge between Cena and Reigns. That could be a Night of Champions thing. So I think there's some good matches. I think you don't want to waste a lot of capital on this because really it's about from Cena to Roman Reigns with the intersection of Brock Lesnar. That's really all there is to it.
I think Bryan's an interesting one too. Is he healthy enough to get back before Mania? Because I think there's a money match with him and Brock Lesnar in there somewhere too.
Oh, if he is healthy. But you can't book around somebody who might be healthy.
Right. No, you can't. I'm just saying.
You just have to take what you have and that's it. Now, of course, if he is, you know, and again, you've got Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
You could do Jericho, Lesnar.
Yeah.
Night of Champions and goon it up a little bit. Bray Wyatt gets involved and, you know, there could be some neat interaction. There could be some neat things.
See, I want to do something like they do a battle royal or somehow Cesaro wins something. That gets him a chance. This is why I thought it made him interested to give Cesaro the money in the bank, because it could add him, hold this, and then he catches it on Brock, and that's how Heyman gets pissed. You know, he could have done something like that.
Right.
I feel like it'd be cool if they had one weird one in there at the Rumble. I don't know who. I'm trying to go through the roster quick in my mind.
Brooklyn Brawler?
No, not that weird. I was going to say Cody, but he's not really. He's more in the tag team thing now. I have to think, but I'm trying to think of someone that would be a little off kilter, but would make kind of a cool match. I didn't have to carry a show with something like the Rumble. But I think you got Reigns, Cena, Cesaro, a 3 for sure. Like you said, Maybe you have one rematch. Maybe you do Cena again in Survivor Series, but you're going to have Brock beat him twice within 4 months. I don't know if you want to do that. Yeah, I agree with you keeping Bray away. I think Jericho with Survivor Series could be interesting if they did.
Jericho is very interesting. You got Orton as well.
Yeah, Orton too, right. If they turn him. I think Orton's going to turn face at some point. Because I think the story's going to go that the Authority brings Brock Lesnar in to do what no one else can do, and that's get the belt off Cena. And it's going
to. Is that how they get rid of, and then they say sayonara to Heyman?
No, Heyman, I think they make a deal with Heyman. They strike a deal with Heyman, and they bring Brock in to say, hey, we need this belt off Cena. But then Brock goes rogue and says, go F yourselves. I'm walking with the belt. And now all of a sudden the Authority are stuck trying to find someone to get the belt off Brock. So it flips on them. So they're so desperate to get it off Cena that they turn to this guy who's unpredictable, and then he stabs him in the back and just says, well, see ya. I'm leaving with the belt.
You trusted a snake. I told you I was a snake. Yep. I love that. And then, Aaron did a good job there.
Yeah.
That was a very good question and brought out some thought-provoking ideas and some matches that, you know, I think would be entertaining and would draw some money. On a side note, UFC 176 had to postpone because of injury to their main event guy, which you never like to hear.
No.
Are they in trouble?
I mean, I don't, I'm not going to pretend to know the financials or anything behind it. I do think one of the problems that I've always felt could be an issue is the injuries and the attrition, and they're pumping out so many shows. Do they have enough guys to fill all these spots?
I know, like, well, Ronda Rousey, I saw, would be a logical fill-in, you know, but she is under a medical suspension from Nevada because of her knee, because she's got knee trouble. And they do that to fighters, you know, they suspend them, not for anything illegal, but just to protect them for their own good until they're healed. So, go figure. Athletic Commission's actually protecting the athletes. Right. I don't know. That does scare me. It really does. It's I've always, I've never been a big fan of UFC. I have great respect for it. I just hate seeing the guys beat themselves up so badly. Like Tom Lawler.
Do they still have a 176, or does that number just go away? Like, will the next one be 176, or does this go to 177?
And it never 176 happens? Goes away.
Okay, so there'll never be a UFC 176.
No, there won't be. I saw that. Yeah, there'll be a 177.
Did you see the funny quirk that UFC 176 is the card that Kevin James fought on in the MMA movie?
That's great.
So now
that is great. Speaking of which, Leah Remini has got a new show coming up. Are you interested? Are you going to watch that?
Is it a real show or a reality?
Quote unquote reality.
Yeah. Well, kind of like what about her life or whatever?
Family.
Yeah.
I've seen it a million times. It's like Run's House.
No, probably not. And I love her, but I'd rather see her on a sitcom.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
No, she's not doing... This is not a sitcom.
Yeah, I'd rather see her do that.
Yeah.
You got to watch Veep, by the way. We got to get you some HBO information. You'd love that
All right.
show. It's so good.
I'm down with that.
Smart. Very smart humor.
All right. What else do we got? We got a few minutes left.
We got to do some sleaze. You ready?
Oh, I love sleaze. Explain quickly...
Play the game!
Yep, sorry.
Sorry about that. I stepped on the lead.
You did. You stepped all over it.
Sleaze is from the Death Valley Driver Board way back when. Things that were urban legends that have that never been proven, and we put our percentages on them as to how true we really think they are.
Yes, and we've done this now, I think, the last three episodes, but this will be our last one for a little bit because I got a game I want to try next episode. So
okay, I love games.
We're going to mix things up a little bit. So I'm trying to see if I got any... music here for us. All right. Here we go, Kevin. Rip Rogers pulled Barry Windham's keys out of a commode filled with shit and Jack Daniels after a particularly hard night of partying using his bare hands.
Well, I just want to give, first of all, I want to give a shout out and best wishes to my friend Rip Rogers, who just had hip replacement surgery the other day. And is doing well. Rip Rogers putting his hand down a commode of shit, not surprising to me at all. Now, sometimes guys have like weird things. Mm-hmm. Like Bobby Eaton would get nauseous if you put your hand over his mouth.
Okay.
And I remember that because Regal was doing that to him. And I'm like, and he's like hurling. I'm like, what are you doing? It's like, he hates this. So, yeah. Rip is kind of a sicko, and I could see him doing it. But how does Jack Daniels get down the commode? Who wastes perfectly good Jack Daniels?
Maybe he shit the Jack Daniels out.
Ooh, boy, oh boy, that's really hardcore. And Barry Windham being a part of it, no surprise.
Okay.
So, I would say 80... Ooh, no, that might be too high. 74%.
Okay. All right, next. At an indie show, Sabu had oral sex at one of the valets in a locker room. And one of the other wrestlers asked him if it was good. He said something along the lines of, smell my mustache.
My mustache. I've heard this story before. I don't know who the female counterpart was to that. But when you finish the joke, you know you've heard this story before. I would say this is about a 90%.
Okay.
Yeah. 90% because there's not a lot of room for embellishment there. It's pretty straightforward.
I think maybe it was the late Bertha Fay.
Could have been. You never know.
All right. There was this dude called John Arezzi. I think you may know him. Worked with Vince Russo.
I know of John Arezzi. I never met him. But
hosted a radio show, did some promoting, promoted a AAA tour around the U.S., and insisted on using woman as a manager for Psychosis because he used to be in love with her. Conan was booking Baja California. Since he was friends with woman, he got her to do a small tour around Tijuana, Mexicali. After a Tijuana, this guy believes Tijuana show, everybody went back to the rooms. The TJ guys stayed at home. Conan shared a room with his buddies, and woman had her own room. Very late in the night, someone started screaming and pounding hard on Conan's door. He opened the door, and it was a half-naked Nancy Sullivan, whose face was a mess. They let her in, and she said that she got high with heavy metal, and they were about to fuck, but he was so wasted, he couldn't get it up from all the shit he'd been doing all day. So he started biting her ass really hard. She hit him in the face with something. He hit her back, and she escaped. At the time, Conan was scared because he didn't want to get on Antonio Pena's bad side by having an argument with Metal, and he was afraid it would cost him his WCW job if this got to Kevin Sullivan. Years later, I told him, if Kevin Sullivan had found out about it, he probably would have gone down to Mexico and cut Metal's balls off. And someone said, not really, because he probably beats her up even worse.
Wow. There's a lot of depth to this story.
Yes.
And I mean, Conan has some wild, wild stories. And I've never known him to embellish or lie or anything like that. He just has great stories. He tells it like it is. I'm going to say this is pretty much true. I'll give it a 94%.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very, very strong. There, a lot of the facts make sense. It works out linear. I don't know how a Resi fits in it. It's almost like a Resi kind of shoehorned himself into this story.
Yes.
Because he died off like he was the red-shirted guy in Star Trek who comes down with Kirk and Spock.
Well, I guess the point is he's the one that was responsible for Woman even being there because he was in love with her and booked her for this show.
Got it. Well, again, yeah, there's a lot of... it's just such a great wrestling story. It's pretty much all wrestling stories are, you know. Hotel, high, and worried about getting heat. That's pretty much... every wrestling story. So, yeah, 94%.
All right. Butch Reed has pissed on the carpet and or furniture of every motel he's ever stayed in.
See, I don't know about that. I do know that Butch Reed was an out-of-control maniac on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just high as a kite. And when he wrestled Terry Taylor... Terry told me stories about, you know, they would get through the end of the week on Sunday and Butch, you know, one time he just came in the ring and he just beat the holy hell out of poor Terry Taylor. But he was high as a kite. He was out of his mind. So has he pissed in every hotel room that he's ever been in? That's a lot. And I think somewhere along the way that would have been, you know, that might've caught up to him. Now, who was I talking to, about Butch Reed. So I think it may have been Joe Dombrowski. He's talking about Butch Reed and how he could have been the Intercontinental Champion, but instead it became Honky.
Yeah, it's probably Dombrowski. So it's a conspiracy theory that's out there that Butch Reed was supposed to... rumor is that he was supposed to win the title that night from Steamboat, but he no-showed. And Honky got the choice instead, was the choice instead. I don't know if that's true because I've heard that he was at the taping or was backstage in the scene celebrating with Honky when they go backstage, so... I don't know. I've never really heard that one officially confirmed.
Maybe it was for all the carpet he fouled.
Maybe when you actually get Fink on the show and we do like an hour and a half with him, we can get
No, you know what? Answer. He'll never tell us anything.
No?
No, he is the cone of silence. He will take all of these stories to his grave. That's funny. That's why he still gets a check.
All right, two more. You ready?
I'm ready.
Johnny Valentine would take a dump and strategically place it where it couldn't be found easily, like the inside of bedposts.
Johnny Valentine was a really bad ribber. I'm going to say, and I didn't give a percentage to the Butch Reed peeing on the carpet thing. I'm going to go 37%. Johnny Valentine, I'm going to say this is pretty true. I'm going to say probably like a 66%.
Okay.
I'll give it 2/3. Bad ribber, did bad things, wasn't necessarily a bad guy, but just ribbed hard and had guns pulled on him, like, you know, for the payoff of a rib, basically, and whoever was the ribbee didn't take too kindly to it and pulled a gun on him, you know, that type of stuff. So yeah, I'm going to say 66% that there was, you know, some guys work in different mediums, you know what I mean? Some work, like Owen's thing was the phone,
right?
He was the master of the phone rib. Some, you know, Davey loved the stink bomb. Owen and Davey together, the best ribbers ever, at least that I saw. Other guys like Johnny Valentine apparently work in fecal matter. So you're carving that up. You really got to think about that. I always, when I moved out, if I ever had like an apartment that I hated and I hated the landlord, I never was in that situation, but I was like, oh man, I'd love to like get a fish from the market, a whole fish, and put it inside the drywall. You know, and then remud the wall and tape it up, paint, and then move away. And then just for months, this whole apartment just stinks because fish is in the wall. But yeah, I could see that. And good effort for Johnny Valentine, who was an all-time great in the ring and apparently could rib as well.
Better than having the band Fish in the wall, having to play constantly. I'd rather stink of dead fish than listen to that. All right, one more. Shawn Michaels supposedly invited three hot girls back to his hotel room, told them all to get naked and get on their knees. He whips out his ding-dong, and the girls figure it's going to be a good old-fashioned suck-fest, but instead he proceeds to take a piss in each of their mouths.
Wow. There's a lot of urination in tonight's sleaze. This is a
urination.
This is not good.
We're well hydrated tonight.
We are well hydrated. I don't know about this one. I don't know, 42%.
Really? You don't think this is something Shawn Michaels would have done?
I don't know. It's so bizarre. You know, did you know Tony, and this is true, Tony Atlas used to like have girls walk on his face?
Yes.
Okay, but that sounds weird. And if you don't know that story,
right,
then you're thinking, how could that ever be true? But it is true.
Well, how do your suck fests usually go?
Well, if I ever had any, they wouldn't be like this.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I've got it 42%. I'm not feeling
it. I heard that Raw commentary team in 96 is pretty wild. You and JR and the King.
It was poor Michael Cole who got stabbed with a pencil. He did. JR stabbed him in the leg with a pencil.
That's nice.
He wanted to. He wanted him to shut up.
Did you know he stole Sean Grandy from us? He's interviewing him.
We had Sean Grandy first.
I know, but he's ours.
Oh, Sean Grandy's great.
He's the man.
He should be hosting this show.
He was on the
carrying his bags
on the Sports Lounge with us as well. All right, your overall pay per view picks, Kevin, 15-3. You went 3-1 at Money in the Bank.
Woo!
So we'll regroup. Actually, we're not going to be able to do that. I'll have to get yours via email before Battleground.
Those stupid Usos.
Yes, the Usos. I couldn't believe they won that match. But they're having a 2 out of 3 falls match at Battleground. We do know that so far.
Swerve.
So, right before that show, I will get your picks, and then we will have the updates that week because our next show is after Battleground. So, all right, take us home. Let's get out of here.
All right. I want to just say, you know, listen, when you're a guy like Mike Mondo, who is not the biggest and certainly doesn't have the measurables of some other guys, it's never an easy road. You've got to choose the road that you want to be on, though. Mike Mondo, if he decided to walk away and never be in pro wrestling again, has had a better career than 99% of others that call themselves professional wrestlers. He's made it to television. He worked for the WWE for 9 months and was on TV for 9 months and was under contract with them for several years and has had a hell of a career. And he's very talented. But still, he's at a kind of a crossroads in his life and his career at 31 years old. So what will Mike do? Mike will continue to work hard because that's what Mike does. And the lesson that we can all take from that is no matter what you're doing, give max effort. Be a max effort guy all the way through. Try as hard as you can, because sometimes even if you make mistakes and you don't know what you're doing, you'll get credit for just trying hard. If you half-ass through life, whether it's through school or through a job or through a relationship, you're never going to get anything from it. You might have some short-term gain, but there'll be no long-term satisfaction unless you really put out max effort. So finish strong this week by giving max effort, and keep Mike Mondo in your thoughts, because I'd like to see Mikey get back into the WWE to complete what he feels is an unfinished story. I want to thank producers Dan McGinn for getting all this on paper, and for JR for getting all this on tape. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with Danny Cage from the Monster Factory, the world-famous Monster Factory, the great training ground of so many. We'll talk about the history of the Monster Factory, what's going on in the present, what the future is for the facility as well. And we will talk to all of you then. It's in 2 weeks. It's the Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation.
All you have to do is believe!
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.